This week I received a note from someone saying how they started coming to St. Albert's a couple years ago, and it was when they attended a mass that they particularly felt a great sense of belonging. It was interesting because the particular mass that this person was referencing is one of the masses that makes Father Charlie's top three masses of all time in the 13 years that I've been celebrating masses as a priest list. Because I remember that particular mass very distinctly, because it was a time period where there was something that was really gnawing at me. It was when we were having challenges getting people to come back to the church, and it was the first time that I had seen this church filled since all the stuff with the pandemic had begun. And I just remember that mass distinctly because of how the Holy Spirit was so present. In fact, there was one moment during that particular homily where I almost broke down crying, and even when I think about it, it always brings tears back to my eyes, and even in the congregation, they felt it as well, because everyone at that moment felt the presence of the Holy Spirit and felt such a strong sense and feeling of belonging. That is ideally what we should feel when we come to church, is that sense of belonging, that presence of the Holy Spirit, and that connection one to the other. During these last few weeks, we've been reflecting on the homily series of finding purpose. We've reflected on various themes building up to today. But today, especially when we reflect on this theme of finding purpose, of what is that special purpose that God has given to us, what is the purpose of why different things happen at different moments of our lives, we're invited to reflect on an interesting question that Jesus asks his disciples. He asks the question to his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And his disciples reply, some say John the Baptist, others Elisha, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus goes further. And he says, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? He makes a personal ask to the people who had been with him and knew him the best. And Simon Peter speaks up with the famous words, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is when St. Peter received his name. Because Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The reason why this exchange is such a fascinating one is because when Jesus was asking his followers, who do you say that I am? The Holy Spirit especially spoke to St. Peter. And whenever I reflect in prayer on this particular passage and what's called imaginative prayer, which is when you close your eyes and it's like you imagine that you're there at the scene, I always get a sense that St. Peter, like that little student that sometimes in the back of the classroom that's like, pick me, and like is raising their hand and is waiting for the teacher to call on them, I always get an image that St. Peter was like that in that moment. Because it was like the Holy Spirit especially came upon him in that moment with the correct answer, and he's like burning literally to share with it. And when Jesus gives that moment, I can almost imagine that like he looked at all the other disciples and at the end looked at St. Peter, and St. Peter burst forth, okay, with this answer. It's kind of the way I've always imagined this. And of course, he answers correctly with who Jesus is. That he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He answers correctly with who Jesus is, but he also answers correctly with the purpose of Jesus as well. that he is to be the one who will be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And he understands because he's seen Jesus in action. He's seen the saving power that Jesus uses in bringing about people's healings, people's deliverances. He believes that he knows the purpose of why Jesus is here. And it's to save his people in the way that they would not be able to save themselves. And in understanding who Jesus is, understanding Jesus' purpose, that is when St. Peter receives and understands his own purpose. That's the part that oftentimes we don't reflect on with this particular gospel. After Peter correctly understands who Jesus is and his purpose, he understands his purpose. He receives his name. Peter is not his original name. He receives his purpose, that he is to be the rock. He is to be that first primary leader of the church, the Pope, after Jesus. He's entrusted in that way with leadership, and he receives his purpose in that moment. As we seek to find what is our purpose or why certain things happen, what's the purpose, why God permits certain things, it's important for us to go back to this question and this dialogue between Jesus and Peter. We have to remember who Jesus is, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And as we remember who Jesus is and what Jesus' purpose is, then we are open to receiving our purpose and that understanding, our identity, who God calls each and every single one of us to be as well. One time on a retreat, when I was praying with this particular passage and especially asking God, God, what is my identity? There's something that we call a personal vocation, okay? There's like vocation in the sense of life vocation. So my life vocation is I'm a priest, okay? There's others whose life vocation would be to be married or to be religious, consecrated, etc. But like a personal vocation is something that especially God has placed us in a particular way here in this life to accomplish. And God revealed to me that my personal vocation is that I am called to bring hope to the hopeless, called to bring hope to the hopeless. That's my personal vocation. Hope is one of those names that oftentimes God calls me in different ways or moments of prayer, because hope is the virtue of change. Hope is the virtue that says that even when it seems that there can't be something to move or be different or et cetera, there's no solution, that there is a solution, that there's some way that something can change or happen differently. I tend to be very good at being creative, and oftentimes people will say after they talk with me, I feel more hopeful because that's my purpose, that's my identity, that's who God created me to be. But I only received that when I understood in a fuller sense who Jesus was, how he was the one who saved me, how he was the one who gave my life purpose and revealed to me what my purpose was, especially in bringing hope to the hopeless. See, this is what our Lord desires today to help each of us, is if we're not yet aware of our personal vocation, and what is that special way that we belong in this life, belong in this world, and even belong in the church in that special way that God has given us a special function or mission? Pray about that. And just like Peter answered, when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" we too can say that. Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. You are the one who came to save us. And I receive your salvation more fully into my heart. And reveal to me what is my personal vocation. Help me to understand who I am as your beloved one and what's that special purpose, that special mission that you've given to me. And as we allow the Lord to reveal that, we feel a sense of belonging. We feel the sense of belonging in connection to God, but also we feel a sense of belonging in the sense of the church as well. I would say in some ways, I didn't fully feel a sense of belonging or understand what my place was in the world, or even in one sense in the church, until I understood my personal vocation as bringing hope to the hopeless. It helped to kind of let me know, oh, okay, this is the way I move, this is the way I belong, etc. That's the power when we understand that personal vocation. And know that sometimes you might ask that question or do that prayer that I just mentioned, and you might be like, okay, I'm ready. And you get like crickets, okay? Sometimes that happens, all right? I wouldn't say that the first time I asked that question, I necessarily got the lightning bolt of clarity. So just know if it doesn't happen immediately, that's okay. That's not unusual. But continue to ask that question. Continue to reflect and continue to allow God to reveal that. And he will. He will reveal who does he say that we are. What is that special purpose, that special mission, that special personal vocation? And also, please know that part of the way sometimes he reveals that is oftentimes in community. Part of the reason I realized my personal vocation was not just in prayer to God, but it was also from the ways that I had served and ministered in different ways. I started to notice patterns and themes of how I kind of just naturally was an instrument of change, that I was the idea person, that I was creative, that I could come up with different solutions when other people didn't. That only happened in community, in ways of interacting with different people. So that also is a way to understand your personal vocation, is to reflect, how is it that you interact with other people? What's that kind of role that oftentimes you have on teams and the contributions, etc., that other people say that you make? That's the whole idea of who do others say that I am, that Jesus is saying, right? And who do you say that I am? So one of the ways, too, to discover your personal vocation is ask the people who know you, what do you think my personal vocation is? And God might reveal that through those that are close to you, those that are around you. Again, that's the power of community, that sense of belonging, is others sometimes, again, see the things we can't see in ourselves and can be those instruments of God in revealing things that we don't see. After Mass today, there'll be an opportunity to sign up for religious education, whether that be for children, teens, or for adults. Even as a priest, I say that I'm still continuing to be formed. I still continue to learn. I go to continuing education opportunities myself in different classes because I know I always have more to learn and that God always wants to reveal more to me. If you haven't had a chance yet to sign up for, especially for the adults, for our Discipleship U classes, know that there's still opportunities to be able to sign up for those. For young adults, I especially encourage you to come on Wednesday nights to our Abide Young Adult group. We have different formation nights where we offer different teachings, again, to help us to grow in faith. But again, it's that way in community as we continue to learn that God reveals who we are and who it is that God says that each of us are. And what is that personal vocation, that special purpose that he's given to us.